In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Word is the eternal God without beginning and without end. He's full of grace and truth. He is omnipotent, that is, he is all-powerful. He is omniscient, he knows all things, and he is omnipresent, he is everywhere. He has the same nature as the Father, but he is not the Father. It is contrary to the Scriptures to say that God is like an actor who plays different roles. Sometimes he appears as Father, sometimes he appears as Son. For the Scripture clearly says today that the Word was with God. So they are distinct, separate persons. Likewise, it is also contrary to the Christian faith to say that the Son is somehow inferior to the Father. For again, the evangelist writes, the Word was God. There was never a time when he did not exist. At the beginning of all things, before the Father had created anything, there was the Word, co-eternal with God, co-equal in power, glory, majesty, honor, and strength. And so we find this to be true. We have one God with one essence, one nature, one set of attributes, and yet three distinct persons that fully possess that nature. And when this triune God, so filled with grace and love, took it upon himself to create objects of his love, we have the beginning of creation. That is what creation is, the object of God's love. So all things were created from the Father, by the Father, through the Word, through the Son. So to deny the historicity of creation is to deny the Son of God. If the world simply evolved to what it is today, then the Word of God is no longer needed, and he becomes weak, impotent. He can't control this universe. He can't order all things for our good. He also becomes extremely unloving, for he did not create all of this then for our good, if evolution is true. So you can't wed Scripture with evolution. You can't pick and choose which parts you would like to follow. Evolution doesn't simply deny the history of the world, but it denies the very heart of Scripture, the gospel, the salvation that is found in Christ. For if Genesis 1 through 3 are exaggerated stories meant to teach deeper truths, then why not the rest of Genesis? Why not the rest of Scripture for that matter? So none of this would be real. The only real thing would be what you imagine and what you think you can comprehend. But the creation account is true. Out of absolute nothingness, God created and brought this universe into being. The cause is God and God alone, for he is the source of all goodness. He was not created. He was not coerced or obligated to create, but out of sheer grace and pure love, he took it upon himself to create all of this for us. He gave man paradise. But Eden, that Garden of Eden, was not the ultimate goal for man. For both Moses and St. John write, in the beginning. Thus, creation was only the beginning of God's great love for man. It was only the beginning of our most blessed union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was only the beginning of our godliness, of our joy, and this joy, godliness, and life of sanctification would have increased and grown. Our knowledge of God, our union with God, would have become more clear if man had not fallen. For this was only the beginning of what God desired all people to have, a blessed and glorious union with him forever. We were not given the strength of a lion, the endurance of an eagle, or the power of a bear, but he gave to us something better, something more, his own image and likeness. We were created to be like the Creator. We look like the Word made flesh. We are holy as he is holy. But since the fall, no longer does man increase and grow in godliness and love, but he only increases in darkness and grows in his love for sin. With each passing age, that darkness of sin has been manifest more and more clearly, where a few wars and a few anger give way to many wars and much anger. As men exchange natural relations for unnatural relations, as men continue even to this day to bow down to creation itself, they do not know the word, and so they do not have life. Fantasies fill their minds, ideas of what the world should be or could be for them. Fantasies fill their minds of who they are, and it's completely detached from reality, completely detached from the Word of God who brought all things into being. But it was unfit for this triune God, so full of love and grace, it was unfit for him to forsake and abandon what he had created. How could love send the objects of love, of his love, to hell? How could goodness give eternal damnation? So in the beginning, the Word created all things. And after the fall, the Word set about to create a new beginning for man. So all human history has led up to this most holy day. He ordered the course of the world. He raised up nations and tore them down. He established those great ancient empires, the movement of peoples, and the technological advancements. He ordered all things for a purpose, so that this child might lie in this manger on this day. Here lies the Word, in whom is light and life and salvation, in whom is goodness and love beyond all comprehension and measure. He has no beginning, but today he has a beginning. He knew he could not simply manifest his power and glory, for then men would shrink away in fear. So he took on our flesh. He was made like us in every way. Our flesh came from our parents, from the union of a husband and a wife. But his came by the Holy Spirit, and so he was born of the Virgin Mary, so conceived and born without sin. His human body did not corrupt him, but he sanctified the body and the soul. He sanctified human nature so that dead, senseless men groping around in darkness might have a blessed communion with him once more. By this birth, he has rescued us from our fallen births. By this child, we are set free from our fallen flesh. We have seen his glory lying in a manger. So if evolution is true, even partially true, then this child cannot be the Word of God. It cannot be your life, your light. It cannot be your Savior. So thanks be to God, it's not true. For God is full of grace and love. In 6 days he created all things, and today he is born for you. Here lies your Creator. He bears your flesh and blood to stand before you, or to stand in your place before God, and to render payment for your crimes. We have seen his glory suspended from a tree, for there he stopped the corruption of the flesh and the destruction of our bodies. There he guaranteed to all flesh a resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. For God has made a full and certain, complete payment for the sins of everyone who has ever lived. Regardless of whom you read about in the history books, Christ died for them. Christ loved them and desired to bring them into his heaven. For all men, he has turned death into a peaceful slumber and the grave into a soft bed. For a man has died in our place, has risen in our place. The price has been paid. But sadly, only those who believe will receive it. Those who reject him and turn away from him will not receive the blessings that God so eagerly desires to give. And so we find that today is the beginning of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is the culmination of all human history. Today the love of God streams forth and is seen like never before. Today our union with God is renewed. Our flesh is made divine. Our dwelling place on earth is made like heaven, for God himself dwells here with flesh and blood. Today, we, like Joseph's brothers, fall down before our brother in worship. The sun, the moon, and the stars bow down before him, and the sheaves of grain honor him as Lord. Today he begins his march toward the grave, to be clothed with your death and your destruction, and yet confident of the life that is to come. Today you are confident, even though you march straight toward a grave, to be clothed with death and corruption, you are confident of the resurrection that is to come. As God's love was the cause of his creating, so his love is the cause of your conversion. The blood of man, so darkened with sin, brought only death. The will of man was opposed to God and fought against God, for it desired nothing more than to be chained to sin and to live in darkness. But the will of God is pure. The will of God is love, and the blood of God purifies you from all sin. So as the word of God pulled Adam up from the dust, so that word has brought you from death to life. As the word of God created Adam in his image and breathed into him the breath of life, so the word has recreated you in God's image through those waters of holy baptism, and has breathed into you the breath of life, that is the Holy Spirit. What God is, you now are. For he has become like you in every way so that you might share with him in his glory. As creation was only the beginning of God's love for man, so this Christmas day is only the beginning of God's love for you. He who is equal to the Father in all things now has become equal to you in all things, so that he might restore you as objects of his love. And then you will increase in joy, in holiness, in sanctification, both now and in the life to come. Today is only the beginning. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.